This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome again to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me is Yanis Janaeus. This is our initial reaction show to Fulham's 1-1 draw against Blackpool. You can't see Yanis, but you certainly can hear from him. And during the show, we're going to be talking about this 1-1 draw, a point for Fulham, and we'll talk about the result in just a second. But Yanis, you and I were talking about this before we went live. I think we have to start here with the medical emergency at Craven Cottage, and I just want to just say my thoughts are with this person's family. I'm just thinking about the family dealing with this very bad situation at Craven Cottage today, Yanis. And it kind of, again, for me personally, I know a little bit about this, and all I'm going to say is my thoughts are with the family of this individual, and I'm thinking of you at this moment as we do this show. Yanis, we'll talk about the result in just a second. Disappointing, but it's very hard when someone goes to a football match and probably a lifelong fan and has a medical emergency at the event, at the match today at Craven Cottage. And my heart really dropped when I first heard about this. And then, of course, we had the delay. And it's just horrible, Yanis. Football takes just a step back from life here. And that's why I wanted to talk about this before we do anything.
Yeah, it's the game today and the result is of secondary importance. It's been an interesting year because we've had a number of medical emergencies at grounds around the country. And I really am in support of the fact that when these incidents do occur, and Mark Rodick deserves a lot of credit for
it. He absolutely does.
Yeah, and just, you know, the referee used common sense. They stayed on the field and then went off the field while, you know, the medical personnel dealt with the stricken individual. And when it happens in a ground, and that did happen. I was at a game many years ago. I think we were playing at Brentford. I think it was back in the 80s when that happened. Yeah. It happened right in front of me. And it's very scary. One of the positives about something like that happening in any sort of ground is that you have now, because of the availability of defibrillators and medical personnel, and they do it, we all know they do an absolutely fantastic job.
Right.
And because you've got so many people there, you've got first aid that's available. What was unfortunate was that the delay was significantly long to point to the fact that this was a very serious medical incident. And you could tell from the reaction of the Blackpool fans, who I thought were magnificent during this, our home supporters, both sets of players and the officials, that they needed to give deference and pay respect to the situation at the time. And then went off the field. And, you know, when updates come in, of course, they're going to be available and,
yep.
and what have you. But the game today is of secondary importance. It, and you can tell the effect it had on the Fulham players.
Right.
After break, it was a completely different team. And I have to give enormous credit to Blackpool, the way they battled.
Of course.
They were super in the second half. They got a deserved equaliser.
Yep.
They played us very tough. Their fans were vocal. They brought 2,000 supporters down from the Northwest. But even they will admit on their bus and train rides home that any time this happens, really thoughts are really only with one person and the family beyond that. So it's a very, very difficult time.
Okay. And I'll just say this one more time because I've learned some information. Just, it's a personal matter for me. And I'm not going to say anything more. I am just going to say my thoughts are with the family of this individual. And I'm a little shaken myself. And Giannis was suggesting that maybe we should wait 24 hours, but I wanted to do this show because I think it's important to talk about people who go to a football match, love the club, and something happens. And thankfully, like I said, Marek Rodak alerted the proper people. And the medical teams were able to work on this person. And I don't know, I'll just say one more time, I'm just continuing to think of the family of this individual. And I just got to take a little deep breath. And we're going to now talk about the match, but it certainly had an effect on the match. But the match itself is extremely, and I'll say it one more time, secondary. This is hit hard for me. And I'll just say that we're going to talk about the match now, but I'm thinking of the family of this individual. Okay. All right, Giannis, let's not talk about it, but let's talk about what happened before the medical emergency, because Fulham came out strong, my friend. They actually did. We're going to now transition and talk about the actual match itself. And I thought, you know, again, they came out on the front foot. They were dominating the play. And what I noticed at the beginning of the match, and again, we'll, as we talk about this, there was a change from Blackpool, because Blackpool, I don't know if they came out and gave us too much respect, but they allowed us really to just boss the match, Giannis. And that was good for us. They actually allowed us to have the ball and really weren't pressing us too much. And Fulham got the goal early, which led me to think that, okay, we're on track here. And the goal is from Mitro, Giannis, but this goal is just a tap. And this is about the players that actually set up Mitro. So let's talk about the goal for Fulham.
You're absolutely right. We came out on the front foot. They set up in the 5-4-1, and you knew then exactly what they were going to play for. They knew we were going to be angry after that performance early in the season up at Bloomfield Road, where we, let's be honest, we laid an egg. And it's the only time that we'd lost this year where we had actually not scored a goal. And it was a poor performance by all accounts. And it does happen. But the cross, you know, from Fabio, Cabano, Fab doing the thing, the link-up play, the ball comes across, Mitro taps it in, and you're thinking, well, we're 5 minutes in, this could be a rout. But right then, you have your game-changer, and the game-changer came on 13 minutes. And I think there's a graphic from the BBC Sport which maybe sums it up for me. Mitro's kneeling in the middle of the ground on the field with a hand on one of the game balls,
right?
And I think when we were on the front foot then, and we could have got a second or even a third goal, but at that particular point, after about 5 minutes, you started to watch the body language, particularly of the Fulham players on the pitch. You then realise that there was something going on here, and Blackpool were very, very professional about it, as you'd expect them to be, and respectful. But as the time wore on, and then the players had to be taken off, and they would have been, obviously, they'd done their warm-up, they go back in, they were goal up, They're on the front foot. I think they had something like 90% possession.
Right.
And the first 12, 13 minutes. And the longer that they're sitting there, the more they're thinking, the more they're thinking, the more they're beginning to pontificate about the fact that whatever's going on in the stands isn't a small incident. And when they were brought back on, it was a matter of half an hour, which is such a significant amount of time, that they, I don't think the players will have been informed about the seriousness of what was happening on in the stands, but I think they will have been acutely aware by when they walked onto the pitch, just the atmosphere. And they probably, they were taken away from that, luckily, yep. But they will have sensed it going back on. And then when you have half time, and for Marco Silva and the coaches, it's a tough time. You've dominated and then you have to go back in for, you know, terrible circumstances. And you go back out and it's just not the same. And although the score says 1-0, the atmosphere is different. And then at halftime, he has to redo that again with the coaches, with the players, all of them probably. I'm sure someone in the changing room said, "Hey, Gaffer, do you have any news?" And he probably didn't.
Right.
And they're listening to him with the instructions being professionals, but then they're also humans.
Exactly, Giannis. They're human beings.
And that's really a difficult. That would have been tough for Marco and for the players. And second half, I think, showed that because they came out. Blackpool came out gangbusters.
They did, and they deserve all the credit for how they played in the second half. We'll talk about that in a second. This isn't making any excuses for Fulham. In fact, it's actually giving them credit in a different way, because I think if I was out there on the pitch and I witnessed something like that and then I had to go back out and play and act like nothing had happened, I think it would affect me a great deal. I think it's hard, I think it shows the human side of all of these players. But let me just say, you know, again, it's a match, and you're going to play, and you're going to continue. And Neil Critchley got his team after the restart to press Fulham and cause problems. And, again, that is a credit to them. But all I will say, I'm going to give credit for Fulham and the players for just – going out there after that and playing and trying to do their best and be professional. And Blackpool and their players, they were professional. They, again, just went out there and did their job. And they, again, made an adjustment. They started to press Fulham, Giannis, causing them some problems. And Fulham couldn't get that second goal. We're just talking about the first half. And what are your thoughts about, again, we restart and Blackpool starting to press Fulham? And I could just see a nervousness from Tosin and a nervousness especially from Tim Ream, Giannis. Again, let's put aside for 2 seconds. We're just talking about the football, how they might be feeling. But when they were being pressed, they were nervous. And you could see it. They had that mistake in them. It played itself out a few times during the match. And, of course, we'll talk about the second half.
Yeah, that's right. And I think how you react to something like that is also hugely dependent on if you know the nature of the person the victim of any medical incident. If that's a Blackpool fan, then you probably see a very different looking Blackpool outfit.
Right.
The Fulham players knew it was one of theirs.
Right.
And that cannot be ever underestimated. In fact, it would have, I suspect, it had a massive effect on the players. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the fan is. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter if they're season ticket holders, it's their first time at a game and they're wearing a scarf. The fact that they know that they're there to cheer them on and they paid their money to cheer them on, and you know that they're there and you know that something's happened, is tough on everybody in that stadium, but particularly the fans. Our fans and supporters, and it's just I've chatted with many a fan about this one, about, you know, do you look at things, you look at life, and then you wonder, you know, where if you were to ever suffer medical incidents or what have you, where would you like to be in the world? Where would you
right.
Would you like to be at home? Would you like to be at work? And there are many Fulham fans that would say to you, I would rather be at Craven Cottage. I would rather yes. be there surrounded yes. by 18,000 people who all feel the same way as I do.
And your family, and the your Fulham family. Family.
The Fulham family. And it doesn't yeah. matter what club it is in the world. And it is, that's what makes it, that's why it has that great effect. And it doesn't matter whether you've got 18,000 in the fan, yeah. stands or 1,000 or 67,000. It's still the same effect. And you could tell our players were, I mean, it's funny. I thought Joe Bryan had a very good first half.
Yep.
Even after the break, I thought he played very well. But Tosin and Ream looked rattled. And Odoi looked certainly more rattled than I've seen him for a while.
Absolutely.
And we just couldn't get – I'm waiting to see what social media is going to say, because I'm hoping nobody's saying, oh, we've dropped points against Blackpool. And it was a tough afternoon, a tough yeah. game, a tough situation. Forget it. Let's move on, and that's it.
Right.
That's the way to look at it.
Right. And that's also, Giannis, why I think it's important you and I do this, because we're family.
Yes.
We're part of the Fulham family. And I'm sure all of the Fulham supporters are concerned about what happened to this Fulham supporter at Craven Cottage today. And I don't blame them. Because again, we are a group. But the point of all of this, we're human beings. The players are human beings. Marco Silva, we're all human. It's difficult to then go and play when you know, like you said, that a member of your extended family, the Fulham family, looks like they're in trouble. And yeah. it's difficult. It's hard. But like you mentioned, you know, and I'll say this about myself. I've never watched a match at Craven Cottage. It's one of the things that I need to do before I pass away someday. I've not, but I love Fulham. And I'm going to tell you this right now that, you know, I thought about this. My family doesn't even know what I'm about to say, but I'm going to tell you right now on this show that if I have my way, I would be cremated and half of my ashes to be spread at Gillette Stadium and half to be spread at Craven Cottage or outside of Craven Cottage.
I think that's just about.
And I'm just telling you, that's how strong I feel about the teams I support, the teams I love. If I went to if I'm to pass away, or if I'm to have a medical emergency or something to happen to me, I would want to be at a place that I love, that is a second home. Gillette Stadium's a second home for me, even though I've never been to Craven Cottage to watch a match. I've been there twice, not to watch a match. I would want it to be among the people I love, and that's the Fulham family. I know we're going off of talking about the match, but
it doesn't matter anyway. Really, it's one of those days. It's one of those days where really, the game is irrelevant. We drew 1-1.
The game is irrelevant. We
got a point. Funnily enough, it was funny. I did hear something very interesting. I read on Hammy End this morning, and it's sort of ironic in a football sense, because apparently we were lining up a bid for
Josh Bowler.
For Bowler.
Yeah.
And I thought he was very good today.
He was actually very good. And I don't know if there's anything beyond interest from Fulham, but if they do have interest, I would go for it for that player. He's hurt Fulham twice, and he has something. So I would not be against Josh Bowler, because, again, he's played very well against Fulham twice. And I think it goes beyond him playing well against Fulham. I think he's a quality player. So
I do too. I do too. It's just interesting that it happened the way it did. Yeah,
it is. It's strange how everything seems to come together, because, again, we'll now talk about the second half, Giannis. Mm-hmm. And I could just feel, and I know you're watching, and all the Fulham fans who are at Craven Cottage and watching around the world, yeah. wherever you are or listening, are probably feeling the way that I'm feeling, Giannis, that Blackpool are starting to threaten. And the second half, I could feel that goal coming. So let's not waste any time. Let's talk about the goal from Josh Bowler. And what's interesting about this is that I just felt that there was this mistake in us, because I thought defensively we were making errors, bad passes. It kept happening. And unfortunately, Josh Bolla gets the equalizer here. And it was well-deserved because they were very good, especially in the second half. Yes. Let's talk about the calamity that was this goal. Again, credit to Josh Bowler, but Fulham caused their own problems.
Yeah, Tosin looked really, really rattled after that goal. I mean, it just wasn't his game. Maybe he's like, what, he's 21, 20, he's a kid. And he's not usually, we don't usually charge him with errant passes, but he's given the ball away and Hampton's gone on it like a cat. And Bowler does know how to finish. And that was 57 minutes in. And at that point, I think with what had happened before and since that break, I didn't think we were going to get a winner. I thought it was going to be that day. And it wasn't because you could turn and say, well,
yeah, okay,
we're not doing this, or our formation's wrong, or the subs are coming on the wrong time, or refereeing decisions. I mean, when do we ever not, you know, not talk about the refereeing decisions? It was going to be written in the stars that this was not going to go the way that we hoped, and it was just going to be that kind of a day. And you just go, you know, you move on. And it's funny because if you look at the celebrations, it wasn't exactly, you know, rip roar. It was. No. I think they were fairly muted. They're 14th in the table. They've beaten us up at Bloomfield Road. They brought a lot of fans down. They've gone a goal down early. But I think that even though they scored, I think that maybe part of the measure was a mark of respect that, you know, we're not going to go over the top and jump into the crowd or anything silly like that.
Yeah.
To be fair, they pressed well in the second half, and we looked nervous and we looked off the pace. That's understandable. I think for a lot of fans in the stadium, the final whistle probably came as an enormous relief, not because of anything that was happening on the pitch, but just it's half an hour, 40 minutes later, and we've had to deal with this. There's a significant level of trauma that's taking place, particularly in the vicinity of where the incident was happening.
Yeah.
And you know that there would have been a lot of fans that left, many, many fans that left the stadium very upset. And they were, of course, won't know what's happening. And so they're wondering and they're guessing and they're sad because they've seen this. And I doubt they're talking about the game. I doubt they're going, oh, Blackpool come down and mug us. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant today.
It's not going to be about the game, Giannis. It's really about what happened at Craven Cottage today. And I'm going to say this again because thankfully Marek Rodak, and we've already talked about this, and when we get back to talking about football, certainly want to know who your man of the match is. My man of the match is Marek Rodak for what he did to alert the medical staffs to help this person who was having a medical emergency. And again, everyone can pick their man of the match for the actual football, but my man of the match overall, just for being an incredible human being, for caring and trying to take care of a very bad situation, Marek Rodak. So thank you, Marek Rodak, for what you did today. Because again, we could talk about the football, but you show the type of character you have as a human being. So you're my man of the match. You're my human of the match. How about that for what you did today? Thank you.
I could not agree more. I absolutely agree with you, Russell. I think that what will be interesting, the aftermath in terms of, you know, whatever happens with whatever news comes through, the players and the coaching staff are probably going to require some counselling, because this is something that most of those players have never witnessed before, and most fans in that stadium have probably never witnessed that before. I don't think that it's rarely happened at the Cottage, and usually when it does, and maybe that's a debate for another day. Where, you know, I personally think that when you've got a medical emergency in the crowd, I think you stop the game. I think you have to. The focus has to be on that. But there are those who would argue that you don't stop the game because if you didn't stop the game, then the players don't really know. And then the fans, except those in the vicinity, don't really know. And it's only then after the fact. And, you know, is that having a greater negative impact on everybody in the stadium if you stop the game? Personally, I think you have to stop it. And I'm delighted, because when you've got defibrillators or whatever you got, then I think the focus of attention has to be on whoever's in the victim. And let's not forget that we remember the Fabrice Muamba situation at White Hart Lane when they're there. Obviously, the Ericsson situation at the Euros, which was extremely frightening. And it's funny, if you look at all the medical, the situations have taken place and the repercussions on the game after the stoppage in play, they have almost always negatively impacted the team belonging to the fan. And a classic example, I think of the Denmark, it was Denmark-Finland when Ericsson went down. And on paper, Denmark, you know, it's in Copenhagen, you've got 50,000 Danes, you know, crying, you know, blood, you know, spitting blood. And then after that, the stoppage, they came back later on. It wasn't the same Denmark team. In Finland, were respectful. They won the game. That Watford Norwich game 2 weeks ago, after the stoppage, Watford, they stopped. And Ranieri, you know, it's funny, Ranieri in a way is very, very unlucky, because if that hadn't happened, would Watford have possibly won that game? You could argue that. But that is the impact that something like this can have. So the players are going to require some support. So the coaches will need some support. I suspect there are many fans in that stadium that will require support.
Yep.
And, I mean, from my perspective, is what I do as an educator, as a vice principal, if anybody, any fans that were at the stadium today want to reach out to me, please do. So much of what I have to do in schools is working with counselling in traumatic events and what have you. So there's something that I have a lot of experience in. And if they want to reach out, you know, part of our fallen family, you know my Twitter feed, please do. Because in the next few days, as you process what's happened today, then it really begins to sink in. And then at that point, once other details comes out, people will need some support. So I'm offering myself out there.
That's
even
great.
I'm five hours behind. It doesn't matter. Anytime. I'll even put my. You know what I'm going to do, Russ? I know we're on live. You can share this with the fans now. I'm going to give everybody my cell phone number.
So you're sure you want me to do
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is I would do it if I was in England.
Okay.
And I think this is very, very important. If you text me, call me, whatever, reach out. That's my cell number here in Canada. So please do.
Okay. I'm going to share this with everyone, because Giannis asked me to. If anyone wants to talk to Giannis in regards to what's been going on today at Craven Cottage, need someone to talk to about this. I'm going to share this in just 1 second.
And that, of course, includes you. Of course, includes you, Russ. Of course.
Well, thank you, Giannis.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it's a matter of call.
I'm going to share this in 1 second. Let me just pull this up, because. This is Giannis's phone number. If any foam supporters just need someone to talk to about what happened today, give him a call. It's very nice of you, Giannis, to offer that. And
I think it's important.
And thank you so much for your friendship and everything you've done for me. And like I said, I'm just going to say that what happened today has hit me pretty hard. And the one good thing about it is that I'm a part of the Fulham family, and the Fulham family rallies around each other, and that's what Giannis is doing today, and that's what I'm doing as well. I wanted to do a show and not just talk about the actual match itself, but give my my thoughts and prayers to the family of this individual who went to a match at Craven Cottage today and had a medical emergency. I'm thinking of all of you, and I'll continue to say that, but to finish up the show, we're going to talk about man of the match. So coming up next, please feel free to share who was your man of the match. Okay, Giannis, to finish up, I've already told you who my man of the match is. So who is your man of the match?
Oh, it's got to be Rhodey. It's got to be Rhodey. I think if things had gone differently in terms of the start of the match, we might be talking about Mitro or Wilson or Cabana or whoever, Kenny, Correa. But sometimes when you have what happened today, it's the speed at which things are undertaken. Rhodey was Johnny on the spot, quick as a cat, as keepers tend to be. And he alerted the authorities that we had a problem. And that was huge. And we'll sit here and hope that everything is okay. But Rhodey set a tremendous example and sent a message to everybody that, you know, you cannot just sometimes, in fact, more often than not, when you have something like that, the speed of which it's noticed dictates the speed at which authorities are alerted, which gives a greater chance to whoever is going through whatever medical issue to be supported to a safe spot where they can be treated appropriately. So Rhodey deserves an enormous amount of credit for that.
Okay, I'm going to share some comments. This is from my friend Chris, my Man of the Match award. We'll go to the medical teams who was assisting the fan today. I agree with that, Chris. This is from Steve Reynolds, Man of the Match, the away fans. Last week we saw Fulham fans give a minute applause to a Stoke fan, and today we saw Blackpool fans applauding the medical staff, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I understand that. And Giannis, this is for you. This is from our friend Wayne. Giannis, you're a legend, mate. And
thanks, mate.
I totally agree with that. Giannis, you, again, and I'll just share this about Giannis, and I'm not trying to embarrass Giannis or anything like that. When my father passed away several years ago, it's going to be 6 years ago, one of the first people to reach out to me was Mr. Janaeus here and was a support system for me. That's the type of person Giannis is. That's the type of person that I deal with on a regular basis when it comes to the Fulham supporters. So, Giannis, you are a legend, and I will second that from our friend Wayne here.
Well, thank you, Chuck. No need. It's you know what? I think I just posted on Facebook, result is irrelevant. Today was about life. That's it. It's the way it is, and know, we're gonna process. There's probably gonna be a fair amount of process, and then once we do that, I know everybody's gonna reach out and support each other, and then and then we sort of take it from there.
Okay. So, well, listen, my friend, I'm gonna wrap up this show, and I just wanted again to say thank you to everyone that has watched this or listening to this, and like I said, just thank you to everyone. I've been a Fulham supporter since 2007. And what always amazes me in a positive manner is how strong this family is and the way that they have reacted to one of their own having a medical emergency today is unbelievable. And we're all doing it here on Cottage Talk. We care about every single member of the Fulham family. And it's just amazing that I've not stumbled into, but I became a Fulham supporter. And I have Clint Dempsey to thank for that, because if it wasn't for Clint, I would not be a Fulham supporter. So thank you to him. But more importantly, thank you to all of you for just being part of my extended family. And I'm just going to leave that. And that's the way we're going to end the show. For Giannis Chinaeus, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.